My tag team partner from yesterday on the phone right now, John Forcade. John, we appreciate your time. I got the feeling you've been a busy man the last 24 hours. How many interviews have you done in the last 24 hours?
Jay, this is probably going on around 12 right now. I'm up here in Nicholls State right now for the pro football camp we have for the high school kids on the campus of Nicholls State right now. So it's definitely been a long 24 hours.
You know, John, last week at the SEC media days, it seemed like Ole Miss was standing behind you, freeze no matter what happened. You and I did the show yesterday for Gus, and everything was still the same. And then all of a sudden last night, everything's not the same. What has changed at Ole Miss?
Jay, I think it's been building up for a while. Even though what you think happened at the SEC media day, there were some grumblings and some things going on there. They knew then Houston Nutt and his lawyers were digging up records of phone calls. So this wasn't just happening overnight. They met with Hugh Freeze in the last couple of days, and it boiled down to it. And they said, you know, something's going to happen. Either you resign, or we're going to fire you without pay because of the stipulations in his contract. And so that's how it boiled down. It just didn't happen yesterday. It was probably within a 4 or 5 day span something was going to happen.
John, do you think it's over? Do you think there will be more heads to fall? Do you think maybe Bjork could be next because he let it linger a little bit too long?
Sharif, I think that's what the next big question is right now up there. I've got a couple calls earlier today about that situation. Will other guys roll, the heads roll because of this? Who knew about it? And obviously, I think the AD knew about some things that Hugh Freeze has done or did do. But the big question is, why didn't they just come out early and before all this and fire him if they had this big buildup? So it came to Wallace. All they had to do, from what I heard, was to apologize to Houston Nutt. Maybe none of this would have been developing now. That doesn't mean the NCAA wasn't going to come down on them and the institution could have fired him then. But I think there is going to be a hard look at the athletic director and see if he lasts this season. And that's the next question. Nobody else could be fired because the other coaches are not involved in it. So it's going to either be the AD head going to roll or he's going to survive this.
Talking to former Ole Miss and former New Orleans Saints quarterback John Forcade. John, what's next for Ole Miss? Right now, I believe the name is Matt Luke, is the young man who's going to take over as the interim coach. Do you think when Ole Miss kicks off at the beginning of the season, is he going to be the head coach or does Ole Miss make a run at somebody and try to bring in another coach?
I think this is what you're going to have. They're already not going to play in a bowl this season. They pretty much say this season is shot. Let's just get through this season. Even if Hugh Freeze would have been here, same scenario. Let's get through the season. They put us on probation or whatever it may be. No bowl game. Let's get out of this. I think the same thing is going to be implied here. Matt Luke will come in, keep the same coaching staff. They've been here. A lot of them came in new. Let's just go with the flow, see what happens. Then they'll give them the whole football season to start putting a list together of who they want to look at if Matt Luke doesn't do a great job. But he's still behind the eight ball. I think they're just going to play out the year. I mean, if they win 5 games, great. If they win 4, they win 8, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. Because there's no bowl game. They're just going to sit back and wait for the NCAA to come down on them. And then they'll probably come down on them, get it all over with. So the new coach coming in will have an idea of what's going to be at stake at Ole Miss. And I think that's the best thing to do. Finish out the year. It's really a year you're throwing out the window. Finish it out. Find your new coach. Let him know what the NCAA and sanctions are, and then you go from there.
How hard do you think they get hit, or do you think, hey, the 1 year self-imposed ban and is good enough since Freeze is gone? Do you think it's going to be a Penn State situation? Do you think they get hit even harder than that?
Well, I don't think they're going to do the death penalty anymore. I think after what happened at SMU, they felt like, man, giving somebody the death penalty has ruined the university for many, many years to recover. The thing I'm seeing could probably happen. Okay, Ole Miss, you give a 1 year ban. Well, we're going to slap maybe another ban on. I think my take is it would have been a 2 year ban on bowl and cut some more scholarships, basically, and put some other stipulations on the coaching staff. But I'm looking at maybe possibly another year bowl bid, missing the bowl. But then you got to deal with the players because if you do a 2 year in a row bowl, I believe these players can leave and go to other schools.
What do you think about a possible head coach like Les Miles? Would he want to take a job like this, knowing this school's going to be in some deep trouble. There's, you know, the scholarships, the bowl ban, and, you know, kids may not want to come to play for a program. And I know he's a good, clean coach, and, you know, he can revive the program, but a guy like Les, would he be a good fit?
The thing about Les is, do I think he'd be a good fit? I think he would be, because the fact that he's been a coach that's been clean. He's been a coach that hasn't got any trouble. He's been a guy that people respect. I mean, he's a winning coach. If you know up front what you're getting into, those are the kind of guys that you want to deal with. You start getting a younger guy in here, and then it kind of goes on his resume. If he goes 3 years and losing, you know, 8 games a year or something like that, now nobody's going to look at the guy. But an older guy like Les is on the end of his coaching carousel, might want to do this 4, 5, 6 years, understands the situation. But with Les coming into Oxford, Mississippi, he has to adjust his offensive philosophy. But I think he'd be a good fit. There's a lot of other coaches out there that I think could come in here. Then there are some other coaches, they're throwing names out that, you know, they say Chip Kelly. He's one guy. He's got shadows and clouds over his head because of the Oregon days, and he'd have to get that taken care of before he comes back to college coaching. But there'll be a list before the year's over. But I guarantee there'll be some coaches that who are on the fence, on the bubble, that they'll go look at. But I wouldn't go after a young guy 1 or 2 years that's played. I'd go after maybe a young guy that's been coached 4 or 5 years, not a 1 or 2 year guy. And if you want to go for an older guy that's been around 8, 9, 10, 12 years, they're out there. There'll be somebody available come December.
Being a former, you know, Ole Miss guy yourself, does Lane Kiffin intrigue you? Would you stay away from Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, I got my ups and downs about him. I'm just in hindsight, I'm thinking he's dying to get back to the West Coast for whatever reason. Something opened up in a Pac-12 for him. He's a strange individual. I would say I would stay away from him because he's already got issues in the SEC from Tennessee and Alabama. You know, there's other coaches out there you can go after that probably won't have, you know, the little bit of things hanging over his head. He's got some stuff hanging over him. I don't think I'd go after Lane Kiffin.
We're talking to John Forcade, former Ole Miss and former New Orleans Saints coach. And, John, a lot of times when something like this happens, the school likes to kind of stay with the Rebel family. Maybe it's going to be a guy with Rebel ties. Is there a guy that you would maybe like to see at Ole Miss? Or maybe, correct me if I'm wrong, you've done a little bit of coaching in your life. Maybe we're looking at Coach John Forcade next year. Maybe you can break some news.
I'll say this much. If Ole Miss talked to me, you know, there's no head coach for me for that situation. I don't mind. Someone came to me and said, hey, would you come on a staff there, which I've tried before with Ogeron as a coach. But I look at it this way. There's a guy out now right now who played at Ole Miss. He's around there. He coached there. He's at Southern Mississippi. I know him very well, Jay Hobson. I think he'd be a good man to bring in there. He's got the Ole Miss blood in there. And if he ever called me up to come there, I would definitely jump at that bit. There'll be some guys that just wait. You know, there'll be a list, you know, the short list, and there'll be the long list, but there will be a list.
Like you said, John, I have a hard time believing a guy like Les or, you know, anyone who's a big name wanting to take a job where they're going to have to rebuild an entire program that's going to probably get, you know, hit a little bit harder. I think I'm with you. I think it has to be a younger guy to take this job if they don't keep the guy they have right now.
Well, you know, when you say younger guys, and I agree with this part about this, there's the young ones like that's been coaching 1 or 2 years as a head coach. I would stay away from them. I don't think they're established yet. But then the ones that's been at programs 4, 5, 6 years, they're young in my book because they've been there through four seasons of having a veteran, having a class freshman, sophomore, juniors, and seniors. That's the kind of coach you go after. These one-hit wonder coaches, you're taking a gamble on these guys. Give me more of established young guys. You know, maybe late 30s, early 40s, who's been at a program that's rising and done very well. And like you said, you get the Les Miles or the Bob, you get some of these Bob Stoops, Les Miles, they don't want to come in here and deal with probation and you know, you're not getting the cream of the crops and you got to deal with all this for 3 years before you're able to even get back into the level playing field. So I would say you'll be probably seeing someone who's in that late 30s, early 40s, who's been coaching college football anywhere 4, 5, 8 years in that range.
I'll give you a name. He's a Texas name. He may never leave the state of Texas. He was a gunslinger, you know, was an assistant coach. He's a coach now. He's pretty young, Cliff Kingsbury.
That'd be a good choice there. The only thing about him is he better learn how to spell defense. And, you know, his problem is he don't really know. He couldn't tell you defense if you want him to abbreviate it with just the D. That's the only problem you have with those coaches that come out of that situation. But he's a good coach, been around. Another guy that, you know, you could consider looking at, but he doesn't have the head coaching stat, well, you know, is a Major Applewhite. Guy like that. People talk about Frank Wilson. I think Frank needs to stick around for a few more years and get his resume up. Same thing with Applewhite. But Cliff's had his opportunities. He's done well there. Well, maybe he can do some of that in the SEC. But there are some other coaches you can actually look at. And there'll be some coaches. Let me just say this one. I bet there'll be a coach or two who's at a big institution that wants to get away from that to go and maybe do something differently. The money's there. Look, the guy at North Carolina. He's one that somebody's popping their name out. He's been around. He's been at Southern, went to North
Larry
Carolina.
Fedora.
I think Fedora would love to get in the SEC.
Well, John, we really appreciate your time. I know you appreciate you doing this on short notice. I know you're extremely busy today. And thanks again for doing this. And I'm going to see you right here at Old Saint. You'll be co-hosting with me Monday.
Yeah, I'll see y'all Monday. And y'all have a good day, guys. Have a safe weekend. And it's the only thing I can say about the Ole Miss Rebels and all that. I just hope it's a happy ending when it's all over and done with. You know, a little pun on the escort service by you, Freeze. Well, happy ending.
John had to go there. He had to go there.
Good parting shot there,
okay,
John.
Guys.
That's John care, 4K. Guys. Thank you for your time, John. It's going to be an interesting road. It really is how Ole Miss handles this.
I just don't know with the NCAA. You just don't know sometimes. They are the most tricky organization out there.
That's going to be crucial for their survival. We're live here at Old Saint. Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap, 132 Royal. Come on back. Charlie Ricks is going to preview the British Open. And, well, actually, we're going to be the second round is almost done, almost in the books. And I see umbrellas out. So,
of course. Shocker. It never rains for the Open. Never.
Only three out of four rounds usually.
Yeah.
We're at Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Come on back and join us.